Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, Port Adelaide have a huge game at the MCG, taking on Collingwood. Taking off the sub vest is Hamish Hartlett, the Hammer. Hello, Hammer.
Good afternoon, fellas. Thanks for having me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Hey, what's your gut feel for tomorrow? Now, take us back to your day. What's it like playing at the MCG?
It's absolutely incredible. Really no place like it to play footy. Just the enormity of, you know, the venue itself. It's very, very exciting. We don't often get opportunities to play there, usually sort of once or twice a week, the occasional finals game there. But, every time you get to play over there, it's a very, very special experience, and especially against a big club like Collingwood. So the guys are in for a very exciting afternoon tomorrow.
Best friends now, Collingwood and Port Adelaide, Rich.
Lovey-dovey.
It's pathetic.
Hamish, how did you see the need to set up the defence once Trent McKenzie was lost with the ankle injury? There was thought, well, there's Tom Cleary ready to be like for like, but you went for Jace Burgoyne instead.
Yeah, it was, there's certainly a few conversations throughout the week about how that one was going to play out. So essentially, both guys are in good enough form to have come in and have played on Saturday. Now, Jace got the nod pretty much because of his speed. We feel like Collingwood, with the way they move their ball from end to end, can certainly expose you in that area. So it was essentially a selection based on matchup rather than a like-for-like, I guess, for us.
Any banter with Billy Frampton this week?
Oh, I imagine there'll be a few comments made out on field. Yeah, I know he's very good friends with Ollie and Darcy and a couple of the other guys that'll be lining up against him on the weekend. So we're ecstatic for Bill to keep getting these opportunities he's getting. He's obviously impressed the people down there at Collingwood, and he gets his chance against us tomorrow. So I think he might be lining up against potentially big Charles. So.
Ooh,
that'll be
we thought he made Toddy Marshall.
Yeah, Todd Marshall.
Well, either way, it's not going to be an easy day for him, I don't think. But he'll have good crack, and it'll be a good contest.
Every time we say his name, we have to play this song, Frampton. Bit of a Frampton live there, not Billy, of course. That's Peter Frampton.
Hey, Hamish, would you be distressed to see a game that just goes end to end, goal to goal?
Look, it wouldn't be ideal in terms of the way we'd like the game to play out. We're very understanding that that's the way Collingwood want to play. Yeah. We can't fall into the trap of playing that sort of slingshot, super high octane football, because that will certainly play into Collingwood's hands. So there's going to be opportunities and times to do that, and we'll look for those opportunities. But we've also got to be understanding of the game and how we want it to be played, and make sure that we take the sting out when we need to.
Hammer, on Monday I told the Roach that Travis Boak should be and would be the sub. He said I was stupid. Do you think Ken Hinckley's stupid playing him as a sub?
Never seen Travis in a sub's vest, so to speak.
Boak he'll be lining up as the sub this week. So essentially, Trav caught that whack in the pre-season game, and we thought he may have missed sort of a week or two, but it turns out he hasn't really trained that much over the last probably 4 or 5 weeks since that incident. And we feel like, him being the sub is going to be a great way to be able to manage his game time. But having said that, if there was an injury to occur early on in the game, there's no one as professional as Travis in the game to be able to come out and play well under sort of minimal preparation. So sort of feel like we've got the best of both worlds in that regard.
Hammer, we're live and interactive. You know how this works. You've done a bit of media. A few texts coming through. I'll direct this to you. It's directed to Rooch as well, but I think it's a good text, but maybe further down the track in this season. What do you think about Travis Boak having a defensive run with role on Dacos? Well, we know that's not going to happen. It would show A team-first approach and set really good standards for the team. That's Dave from Brisbane. But going on, though, can you see him going back to a high half forward or playing defensive roles because of his fitness and discipline?
Yeah, look, I actually don't think that's the worst idea. Going forward, yeah, if we feel like there's an opponent that's, like a Nick Dacos, for example, that might be able to hurt us, I guess, going the other way. You know, Boakey's certainly got the discipline and the capability to run with these types of players from an aerobic point of view. But he'll also hurt you going back the other way. Like, he knows how to find the ball. He's not just one of these pure lockdown players that would just get the job done his opponent and actually not find the ball himself. We feel like Trav's got that capability. So, it's not an option that we've explored, obviously, with him previously, but it might be an option for us going forward.
Hamish, a bit made of Mitch Georgiades's goal-kicking routine. Ken Inkley today pointed out that he worked with Mitch all week on his kicking. Where's the lad's confidence when he's lining up a goal at the moment?
Yeah, it's a good question, Rich. I've tended to sort of stay away from Mitch. It's one of those cases where you don't want 1,000 people going over there giving their opinion on what he's doing right or wrong or getting in his head too much. I almost feel like everyone should remove themselves from the situation. Let Mitch just, relax himself and go through his own routine without getting too far into his head. But, he does have plenty of support at the football club. He's working, very, very hard on his goal kicking, not only on his technical stuff with his routine and the amount of shots that he's taking week by week, but also from a psychological point of view as well. It's a multifaceted approach that he's taking into improving his goal kicking. So he's going about it the right way. And hopefully for his sake and for every Port Adelaide supporter's sake, that we see some results on the board sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I don't think it's the routine. I think he's got a set routine. It's the point of contact. Sometimes he stabs at it, and other times he's got a loose leg, and sometimes he doesn't follow through. We'll move along. Yeah. Another good text coming through. This was addressed to Chad, but you're the new Chad now, similar pecs. we'll change it to Ask Hammer. Why Charlie Dixon is marking so well this year so far? That's Billy from Queenstown.
Yeah, I reckon if Billy had seen the game against Freo 2 or 3 weeks ago, that he may not have sent that text at all, because Big Charles had a bit of a dirty one that day. But certainly, he responded really well last week. In round one, he took some fantastic marks against a high-quality opponent. I think it's probably a combination of 2 or 3 different things. Charlie was really keen to come out and prove a point after that Fremantle game that he was still a very, very important part of our team, and I think he showed that. He came out with a real chip on his shoulder, and I think most blokes did after that 3-0 game. Kenny gave everyone a bit of a clip. Charlie as well was one of those people about his contest stuff, and so he responded in that respect. But then also the delivery into Charlie was fantastic last weekend. It was all about kicking the ball into space and allowing Charlie to go about his craft. And so it's probably a combination of 2 or 3 different things that allowed Charlie to have such an impact on the game last week.
Hamish, is there a difference between what's the best role for Lockie Jones or what is the best need for him in the team at the moment?
Yeah, it's a good point, Roach. He's quite an enigma, I suppose, in that he can play just about anywhere. Like, he's tried his hand at playing some minutes on ball in recent times in the preseason, probably over the last 5 or 6 weeks, and he's so powerful and explosive in that role. And we've seen his aerial ability and his speed at half back, and then we've also seen him play as a pressure forward as well. So I think, to be honest, we're still figuring that out a little bit as a coaching staff. Now, Jonesy, to his credit, he's happy to accept whatever role he's given from week to week and go about doing it as well as he can. So we can't follow his character in that respect. But we'd be pretty keen to settle him down in some sort of capacity pretty soon, I think. But potentially in the midfield going forward is where I see him playing.
There's so many aspects to playing football and playing it well. You were number one in the comp last week for tackling. Has there been a focus on that over the summer?
There has been a little bit of a focus on it. We probably, it was an area that Nathan Bassett pointed out earlier on in the pre-season that last year our tackle, I think it was more our effectiveness or our efficiency into the tackle wasn't quite where it needed to be. So there has been a little bit of effort put into the technical aspect, but I think with a lot of teams, tackling really comes down to effort and intensity and wants to actually get after the opponent. And as I mentioned, after that clip that we got after the Fremantle game a couple of weeks ago, the boys are really just keen to get out there and show that aggressive intent, and I'm sure it'll be no different tomorrow afternoon.
Last one, Hammo, is another text that's come through. It's just interesting. It's caught my eye because perceptions are all different. And my perception of Port Adelaide, I think you're a very good side. This is from a Port supporter. Geordie from Glenalta says, I feel like Port are such an underdog tomorrow that we may as well go all out and see if we can beat Collingwood in a shootout. If we go down swinging, it's no big deal. Next time we play them, we can try a more defensive approach. I think Port Adelaide's a better side, pound for pound, than Collingwood. Your thought on the attacking game again?
Yeah, it can be an easy trap to fall into, I guess, because we have seen that we're capable of doing that last week, and really that's been our mantra all pre-season, is to play a faster and more attacking brand of footy. It will be very easy to slip into that mindset tomorrow, but I think for us to give us the best opportunity of winning, we really need to get that balance right. So we need to take away that really quick, explosive, game style that Collingwood want to try and implement, and control the game ourselves. But also we need to find opportunities to be able to go quick and break their defence open too. So it's a delicate balance, but I don't think we'll sort of try and go toe-to-toe with them in terms of the shootout.
Bloody hell, Richie, sounding like a coach now, isn't he? Just go toe-to-toe. Hey, good on you, Hammer. We really appreciate you jumping in, and let's hope it's a cracking game tomorrow.
No worries, boys. Thanks very much. Thanks,
Hamish Hartlett. He's a ripper. Just quickly, the big game tonight. There's still no guarantee Stephen May will play. John Rouse reporting on Twitter that the club will give him right up to game time before making the decision. Tomlinson has flown up there, and he played really well last week. He's more than capable.